Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Graham Williams of Fetch Digital, and today we are discussing how to cut through the noise and stand apart from the ever-increasing competition. Graham moved to Riga, Latvia in 2009 and has been there ever since. His own personal journey into digital marketing began around the same time, and he now runs a small full-service agency that specializes in content marketing and provides services for some of Latvia's best known startups and businesses that are looking to expand into new markets. Thanks so much for joining us today, Graham.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Perfect. So let's delve into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us about your decision to move to Latvia.
Well, I'm not sure we've got long enough, actually. my decision to move to Latvia was one of love at the time. Mm-hmm. So really, I was actually running my own business in the UK, which was completely nothing to do with digital marketing exactly. Actually, was in the manufacturing sphere. Okay. But around the time, there was a big crisis in the UK, a global crisis, obviously. And I had been doing that business really for quite some time already. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity came up to move somewhere different. I was actually looking at Southern Europe, somewhere a bit warmer. Mm-hmm. But as circumstances presented themselves, Latvia became an option. And I thought, why not try that? And I just went with it. And I came over here initially just for a summer period. And mm-hmm. really, after the first couple of weeks of being here, just completely fell in love with the city, Riga, with the country, with the people, and just from that point could really see that it was a land of really quite unique opportunities. So okay. Here I am, about 12 years later. So
very interesting. Mm. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Good question. What motivates me, this is actually very topical. I had this discussion with somebody today. What motivates me is seeing how what we can do not only helps businesses, but how actually we can educate our clients into learning more about their own businesses, actually, mm-hmm. and into learning how that through digital marketing and through other traditional marketing fields, they can learn a lot more about their own services, their own products. And that for me is a big motivator because it really helps us as an agency to, I guess, get a better understanding in general of the whole landscape of different markets. So for us, it's great from a selfish perspective. But yeah, definitely a big motivator is to help our clients learn about what we are doing and encourage them to also join us on the journey, I guess, of self-discovery and education.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys are so, digital marketers are so pivotal in helping small businesses grow their businesses. So yeah, it must be definitely a very rewarding job.
It's very rewarding. Of course, we also have to be very honest that what we're doing isn't always an absolute home run, you know, and I think this is a really important part of the education with the client is helping them understand why are we doing these things, these certain things. The honesty and transparency that not everything works every time. And mm-hmm. I think when you educate the client into why you're doing things, they also can understand and see easier why things perhaps don't work. And this is what we talk about, helping them to understand their markets a bit better, in turn helps us to understand their business better. And you know, collectively, it makes a better product, so service and product.
Absolutely. So let's get a little bit of your background. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
So if I take it right back, so I left school when I was 16. I went straight into work. I didn't go to university, no further education. And my first sort of 2-3 years was really working for a very traditional company. It was my father's business, actually. And it was very much a very traditional way of doing business. And at the time, there was no Facebook. There was the idea of digital marketing didn't exist. Mm-hmm. But me coming fresh out of school and having these kind of really crazy ideas from being youngster, ways they could change their marketing, was really the first hint that I was thinking more like a marketer than I guess any other field I was looking at. Yeah. And as times progressed, as I reached kind of the age of 19, 20, then I started my own business. At this point, Facebook was just coming onto the scenes, you know, as, mm-hmm. as a platform, not even as an advertising platform. And we were kind of among, I would say, in our industry at the time, among some of the first, we're looking, how can we use Facebook as a marketing platform? And it just really started from that. But I would say it really kicked off when I moved here over to Riga. And I was starting to help local companies, like local businesses, to communicate to English speaking audiences. And we're doing a lot of that through social media, obviously. And just a natural progression just really went from there. So that was the time, you know, managing pages, managing posts, not just from a social aspect, but also working with companies and helping to improve how they generate leads. How do they do that? What kind of offers can we put together from a digital perspective? The times back with Foursquare, if you remember Foursquare.
Yeah.
That was really big for a period. You know, how can we use Foursquare to get people to come into, you know, physically to come to places, to venues?
Yeah.
And it's really exciting, kind of all these different interesting platforms. And that was really what I guess got me hooked.
That's really cool.
Being able to see the really tangible results. Yeah, that was really good fun. So
awesome. Nice.
Long answer, but that's kind of, yeah, I guess how we got there.
That's really interesting. And then, so tell us about Fetch Digital. So how did that come about? Did you start off sort of just small doing like freelance work and then evolve from there?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I guess this is a big topic we'll be going on to at some point, but I really started out as a freelancer. And again, it was based on this idea that local clients in Latvia and the Baltic states were looking for native English speaking writers to produce blog content, article content, landing page content. Mm-hmm. And it just really started from there. And then it was myself and a couple of others. We sort of got our heads together as freelancers and said, well, look, it makes sense. We're great individually, but if we sort of come together collectively, even if we continue working as freelancers, but if we approach this collectively, we can start to go after bigger clients. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of where it started to come from. And there was myself, one other content writer, a designer. We sort of thought, yeah, let's join forces and let's go and push it. And
that's so cool.
And that was really the birth. Yeah, that was the birth of where it was. And it worked. You know, clients preferred that we could offer a range of services. That's where we became the full service agency, although we do specialize in content. And we, you know, like every small business has to get lucky. We did get lucky. We landed one really well-known brand called Printify, which actually a Latvian company, but they're also quite big in the US.
Oh, yeah.
So we write a lot of their content, for
Amazing.
Example. So
yeah.
Yeah, they have a big content team, a big in-house content team, but you know, content for those guys is a huge part of their acquisition. So they need to produce more than they physically can. But we were right there from kind of the beginning. So we sort of got that very luckily. We just saw a post on a forum on Facebook, you know, on a group, and they were looking for English native speakers, and that was that, really.
Wow.
And
that's
once you have
so
a big
cool.
one on board, yeah, then it's obviously easier to move forwards and to pick up other clients.
Definitely. So how did you guys in the early days, how did you guys really set yourselves apart from other agencies in the area?
This is an easy one for us to answer because we had the advantage of being native English speakers. So
okay.
For us, the biggest USP was that we were native, that everything we did was from a native English perspective, or obviously US, so myself being British, at the time my colleague was American. So that for us was the biggest one. And
okay.
Latvia is a small country. Let's not pretend that we're talking about a huge, huge, huge market. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's still big enough. And that was really what set us apart from the beginning. But I think really when we look now, what's set us apart is the fact that we, as I touched on earlier, we try to educate our clients as we are working, and it doesn't mm-hmm. matter who the client is. We try to put this in with all of our clients, no matter how big or small. Mm-hmm. But we also are constantly educating ourselves. We don't pretend to know everything. We're very transparent, and big part of what we're trying to do is we don't just offer every single service because, you know, that's the great thing to do. We offer services that we've researched, we've trialed, we've played with our own brands, we've failed with our own brands, we've been mm-hmm. successful with our own brands, and we're taking all of that and we try to apply it to each and every client, basically.
Okay.
So that's yeah, probably I would say some of the things that set us apart is we've been, it's a very overused word, entrepreneurs, I guess. We've been business owners, and we're taking a lot of those learnings and applying it then to how we can help other businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really interesting. And then, so how do you make yourselves memorable?
Oh, good question. How are we memorable? Good question. You'd have to ask the clients.
Yeah.
How do we make ourselves memorable? I'm a very talkative person. Mm-hmm. I think a big part of what we're about is, I don't want to keep going back to it, but we want to leave a lasting impression with every client. So for mm-hmm. us, a super successful relationship looks like one where either the client gets to a level where they know how to do things themselves. Mm-hmm. That for us is a success. Some people say it's crazy because it's not the long-term view of keeping money coming through the door. But that we see as a success. So I think that does create a very positive, lasting memory of us as an agency and the yeah. service as a whole.
Yeah, you put their best interests at heart.
Yeah, and I think that's very clear and obvious. So that I think makes us memorable. You know, a lot of people would say we create incredible content, or we bring them 10 times their ass on their ads. That to me is what you're paid to do. There are certain mm-hmm. things that you're not paid for, but makes the experience a little bit more special. And I think that's one of the things that we do. We don't charge them for the time we spend to educate them. And we find that actually the customer retention period is longer, because at some point the clients are quite happy. They know what's happening. Mm-hmm. They feel more comfortable with decisions you're making about their brand, about their business. And therefore you get this trust, and it tends to build into a much longer retention period. But I think that's probably what most of our clients would say is memorable.
Yeah. So you've got that service before sales mentality that you absolutely. Operate from. That's really cool. Yeah. So what are some tips that you share with your clients to help them stand out?
No, it's very standard stuff, but a lot of people don't do it. Know your target audience. I would say we do this with nearly all of our clients, even if they've done it already once, twice, 10 times before, but we sit down with them and we really go through their customer profile. So
that's awesome.
Who is it you want to talk to? Yeah, not mm-hmm. just who is it, but how do you want to talk to them? How are we addressing these people during their journey? Okay, and this is, I think, something that applies for all areas of digital marketing. It's not just content, it's every aspect.
Right.
How are you talking to them? At what point in their journey? And why, I think, is a big one. So this is one thing that we will always do with our clients. We sit down, we go through that, we have a document that we really send to them. What are their goals? Because mm-hmm. if the clients don't have goals, then they will never be memorable. You know, you have to have something that you're working towards,
yes.
and that should be a qualitative goal, not always quantitative, but qualitative. You know, what's not that we are trying to change the world, but really what is your mission statement? What is it you want to do? It's bigger than the product. It's bigger than the sales. What is it? And yeah. I think once you have those things in mind, the client will always deliver a much better product, service, whatever it is that they are trying to sell. So
absolutely.
I think that creates then a very memorable experience for their customers.
That's awesome. That's really helpful. And then, so do you have any tips that you would recommend for standing out on social media?
Which platform? Because I think it varies a little bit. Standing out on social is again very topical, right? I mean, Facebook, it's increasingly difficult to stand out.
Let's say as a digital marketer. So
as a digital marketer.
Yeah. So let's say, you know, like maybe LinkedIn or Instagram, you can pick whatever platform that you enjoy using the most. And then if you have any tips for standing out on that platform, I'd love for you to share them with us.
I can give you the one that we preach, I guess is the right way to put it. We preach, which is authority. You have to create your authority. And that doesn't matter whether you're a digital marketer. I think that's something that any digital marketer, freelancer or agency should be taking into the communications they have with the client. Mm-hmm. It's so important that your client and you as a digital marketing agency create authority. Otherwise, no one's going to listen to you. Why would they listen to you? So you can create authority in different ways, and you can create that authority, of course, comes across on different ways on different platforms. And there are different ways of creating it. There are some fantastic content creators out there who are doing some very clever things. And there are some very, very talented content creators doing very basic things. Mm-hmm. The most important is that you pick your area, your niche, and you build your authority around it. It sounds simple. It's not. It's difficult. It takes time.
Yep.
But once you start to get kind of the rhythm for it, and you start to get the feedback and you see things moving forwards, that for me is number one, is the authority.
Yeah. And so would you recommend, you know, posting regularly and having maybe, you know, your content's not quite as strong as it could be, or posting maybe a little bit less frequently, but with higher quality content? What are your thoughts on that?
The latter for me, definitely. It's definitely post less frequently with higher quality. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. that doesn't always play into the algorithms. Let's be honest. The algorithms are very often looking for a bit more quantity. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about building your personal brand, that's the most important thing. Yes, you have to play the algorithm game, but there is not much point in sending out a lot of content which doesn't have any value for the sake of sending content. So definitely the latter. Go for quality. And when we say quality, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be filming everything in 4K and, you know, with an amazing backdrop and with perfect sound. It just means the quality of the actual content you're delivering.
It's got to be strong content. Okay.
Strong content. And that's a great way to cut through the noise as well, for sure.
Okay. Do you think it's important to niche down when it comes to standing out in the marketplace, either in who you're targeting or the services that you're offering?
Both, because I think they go hand in hand. I think it is important. And for any new digital marketing agencies or freelancers starting out, this is where it gets tricky, because they want to go after everybody, right? It's a natural thing that you see so many millions and millions of companies, and you think, right, we want to get 1% of this huge audience, yeah?
Yeah.
And I have a big saying, if you try and talk to everybody, you talk to nobody. So by picking a niche, or even something that you feel passionate about, an area that you feel passionate about, honing down on that, then you're going to find like-minded people. And if you know how to speak to those people, you know, away from business, then it's going to be much easier in business. So for me, I love sport, and football or soccer, as it would be. And this has always been one thing I've always, whenever I've got a bit lost, I've always gone back to. It's a very comfortable subject for me to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so we've done a lot of brand and player development. So we manage also some professional players' social media accounts. We help them with PR, bits and pieces like that. That's kind of like a nice thing on the side that we do, I would say.
Okay, that's
when
cool.
When I think of Roc Nation Sports, you know, it's like the big one. I look at those guys and think that's like the dream, what these guys have. But it's something that I feel very familiar with and I can always come back to. Unfortunately, those guys don't need much content. So there is a balance between what pays the bills a little bit and things. But I would definitely say, if you feel very passionate about something, that's a great starting point. If you're coming from an already point of authority where perhaps you've worked in corporate for many years, and you've built up a super background in fintech, maybe. I mean that's a super hot topic, definitely within the digital marketing sphere.
Yep.
And you're thinking of making a change, then double down on that. You can go into these businesses with that background.
Yeah.
And you're going in as an authority. You know, they will listen to you because they kind of like, this guy knows what we're talking about, or she understands the brand, she understands the values. And I think that strikes up a relationship much quicker and much easier.
Yes, absolutely. So are there any mistakes that you have noticed that other digital marketers are making when it comes to standing apart from other agencies?
Yes, a lot. I think one of the biggest ones is they feel that the only way they can compete is on price.
That's a good one.
I think this is a big mistake. It's a big mistake because the lower you go price wise, all you're really doing is entering into an area where there is a lot of people that are charging that rate because that's where they're at. You know, it could be through a lack of experience, a lack of education, perhaps not, I don't mean education from a school, but a lack of education in terms of business, or they haven't got the business experience. You start to go up against other countries, you know, so you could be going up against more and more people from India, nothing wrong with that. But again, when you have people willing to write content, for example, at $2 per word, you know, and you're constantly finding that the only way you can get business is by coming down in price, you make it very difficult. And it's so difficult to raise your prices in this industry.
Yep.
It's so difficult to get to a level and say, well, okay, now we've got the client on board. We're now going to start charging an additional 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 cents per word in content. We've actually moved away from the per word model for this exact reason. So that's definitely a mistake. Yeah, don't get drawn into a price war. Get what you're comfortable earning, you know. Get to the point you're comfortable, which is enough to remind you why you left your previous job or what you were doing before.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go to a similar rate, then you may as well have stayed in the previous job, you know. So
yeah,
pick your price point, stick with it. Don't justify it. Never justify your price.
Yeah.
That will come naturally, you know. And just go after more clients. There are people out there that will pay. Yes, it might be a bit more difficult, but when you land the first one, it will give you so much confidence, such a massive confidence boost that the next one will come and the next one will come. And then it's just a case of maintaining it. So
yeah,
that's definitely one mistake for sure. Another mistake is trying to do everything. I think we touched on this before.
Yeah.
We tried that at the beginning. We made a lot of mistakes because we were pitching to clients without fully understanding what they needed.
Right.
And I think when you're trying to offer a lot of things, you don't fully understand what the client is requesting from you or needing from you.
Mm-hmm.
When you know your area, so content, for example, we can go in and see a client and you should be able to tell them what they can't see. You know, if they're coming in and saying, but we've looked, you know, we want to do this, this, and this, and you're kind of sitting there thinking, I hadn't thought about that. Perhaps you don't know the subject as well as you should do.
Mm-hmm.
So single down to begin with, grow your knowledge.
Yeah.
Or grow the team or however you want to do it. But I would say try to be very specific on what you want to do from the beginning. Do it. Don't stretch across everything. We as digital marketers fall into a trap, me as well, of doing a bit of everything. You know, we do social, we do SEO, we do email marketing, we do Facebook ads, we do all of these things, you know.
There's so many options out there available now in digital marketing.
Yeah, and I think we fall into this trap of thinking that we have to do all of them.
Yeah.
And we don't. You really have to, it's very difficult, but you really have to say no. We are, at the beginning, a content agency. Unless there's three or four of you coming together and each one of you possesses a different skill set, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're starting out or trying to start your agency and you're one, two people, then I would say just concentrate on your niche.
Yeah, I love that. That's really great advice. What are some lessons you've learned from owning a marketing agency?
You don't get any more holidays.
Yeah.
That's one. I think one of the lessons I've learned from having an agency is you're not in the operations for very long. That's one thing I've noticed.
That's a good one.
So yeah. As we've scaled our agency, I am dealing less and less with the operational side of things.
Working
and this is
business.
Something you have to understand. Yeah, you're working on the business. You're working on the system or on the framework rather than in it. And this is something you as a digital marketer or agency owner in the early stages, you have to understand, is that what you want? Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're someone that really buzzes from doing the day-to-day and really being hands-on, then making that transition can be really, really difficult. Because what happens is you start to micromanage, or you start to, you know, you start to slow down the operational parts of the business, and it becomes a bottleneck and it's not good. So I think you have to be very honest with yourself at some point and say, am I ready to transition into being a business owner and business developer, agency mm-hmm. developer, and take the next step and trust what I was doing to other people? So that's definitely one of the things that I learned quite quickly.
I love that.
Which I'm happy to say I'm cool with that. That's good for me. I'm very much a people person, so I'm quite happy to be out meeting clients and trying to bring in new business.
Yep.
And honestly speaking, there are people who are better at content writing than I was. That's another thing that we've learned.
Yeah. Not letting your ego get in the way.
Absolutely. You know, there are people out there that are better than you, and there are people out there that are on a similar level, and that with a little bit of your experience and support will surpass you in that role. And something I was told, I think even Gary Vaynerchuk says this, but you should always be employing people who are better than you at your position.
Yes, I agree.
That's the only way you grow, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that that challenge. Anybody you're bringing in, anybody you're, you know, bringing into your culture should add to the culture. They should add to the challenge, and they should challenge you as a business owner.
Yeah, I love that.
I'd say they're the two biggest lessons I've learned. Yeah,
that's great. Where do you see Fetch Digital in 5 years' time?
In 5 years' time, I would like to see us moving. So Latvia has always been our base, mm-hmm. For obvious reasons. But within 5 years, we have a 5-year plan. We don't set the sights of becoming a multi-million euro agency. That for us is not a goal. Our goal is to have the agency at a point where I as a business owner can let it grow organically, where it no mm-hmm. longer has to be pushed or forced. I think mm-hmm. that's really important, and that happens as you get more clients. I see it as becoming a strong player in terms of the content marketing world and producing of content. And one other area that we like to think of as being in is actually almost like a content, factory is the wrong word. It's definitely the wrong word, but somewhere where we are content creators in its very raw form, you know, words.
Okay.
Where people would come to us because they have no idea. You know, not small businesses, not big, all businesses, anybody, where they have no idea what direction to turn, and they can come to us and say, hey guys, look, we're launching a new site. We have a great product, but we have no idea how to market it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help? And we take from A to Z right the way through.
That's really cool.
That's where I see we're at now. We're not there yet, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's a long, long way we have to go in that respect. But we really, that's where I'd like to think we are in 5 years, that we have brands coming to us, great products, great service, help us take it to market. I would say that's where we're at.
I love that. That's exciting.
Yeah. Because sorry to jump in, but you feel very much part then of the growth of that company. You feel very much responsible for that. It's not just coming in on a business that's already existing and running and you're making tweaks here and there, but they're really coming to you at the seed stage, right? They're really coming to you when everything is fresh and raw, and you can really feel like you've had a massive impact on how that the direction of that company has gone. And I think that's
absolutely. So would you say you want to work with a lot of startups then in the future?
Startups, yes. I think these guys are very most startups are very explosive. And unfortunately, digital marketing in many ways, it's great for that. But for the long-term growth, yeah, it's, when we're talking SEO and things like that, from a content perspective, they don't see the benefits after 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Yeah, it's a longer period of time.
Right.
So definitely startups would be one area. Probably more in sport, I think, would be a direction I would like us to go in. So
yeah,
perhaps working more with sports federations, sport teams, sport clubs, because this is a massive area, which I think has a lot of untapped potential. So I think just working with clubs, but then you've got, within every club, you've got a huge amount of individuals, you know, who each have an interest in growing their own brand. From an influencer marketing perspective, working within sports clubs has just got untold potential. You know, every single person within that club, especially from a sports perspective, every single player there is a potential influencer.
That's such a cool niche.
Within one sports club, you could have 50, 60 influencers.
I know. Yeah. I haven't had anyone come on and talk about marketing to sports teams. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I think it has a lot of untapped potential. Yeah. Hence why Roc Nation are there, you know, and doing this already, to be honest. If you look at what they're doing, they're already the market leaders there for sure.
Very cool. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've read that one, and I know you're going to ask this in the author's name has escaped me, but Atomic Habits is a great book, and it's something that I'm notoriously bad at this, but it's a very good book. So Atomic Habits.
Yes, I haven't read it. I know the gist of it, and it's like a book that I definitely want to read. But yes, I'm obsessed with habits. I think it's so powerful how you can change so many things in your life just from changing little habits and then stacking them together. So it's very cool.
Yep.
And
absolutely. And for any agency owners, these small changes will make a big difference. That's no doubt.
Oh yeah, 100%. So cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
I have two kids. I have 1 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. So it depends on their mood. But typically it's get up, take my 6-year-old to the kindergarten, straight to the office. And usually almost, I would say, straight into meetings, actually. I don't really have a set routine. I know a lot of entrepreneurs and people say that you should have. But the drive into the office for me is kind of my zen time. That's
okay.
Quiet. So I enjoy the commute to work. Yeah.
Yeah. So, perfect.
But from there, it depends. As an agency owner, every day is different. Every day is different.
Exactly. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, I would say no. And again, I had this conversation, not today, but it was last week. A friend of mine has quite a few that he follows. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that I should find somebody that I really look up to and try to, you know, pick up on things. But I've always been one for finding different people who can offer me perhaps what I'm looking for at that moment in time. So not a specific person. Again, we talk about the sports world, but I have so many different interests, with sport being one. I would look at sport figures, really. So rather a CEO or owner of a business, it would probably be a soccer manager. For my favorite team is Manchester United. So I look at the manager who used to be there, Sir Alex Ferguson, incredible man manager.
Yeah.
Man management was absolutely on point. Ran a football club, was never on the training ground, didn't take any training sessions, but his man management was, you know, regarded as the best in the business. And I think you can take that into client relationships, and you can take that into how you manage your own teams. So he would be somebody definitely I would look up to.
Interesting. And what is your favorite online tool?
SEMrush.
Okay.
Love it.
Good one.
SEMrush. It's if you want to get into content, into SEO, of course there is Ahrefs as well, but for me, SEMrush has been a game changer for me, I would say, over the last 3 years. It's again helping you understand. We always have this situation. I don't know how much longer we have, so you know, if you have to kick me off, it's fine.
But you've got a few more minutes.
There is one good with not just SEMrush, but with all of those tools. There is one thing that we as marketers or as customers, we think we know what the customer is searching for. Mm-hmm. So you can ask any client, like, what's the main keyword you would go for? And 9 out of 10 times, it's different to what people are actually searching for. Mm. And when we have, you know, a tool like SEMrush, we can look at that and we can see with the trends, we can look at alternatives, we can kind of scale back so we can see from their original keywords that actually there are other keywords related that have much better search trends. And that really helps, again, to perhaps highlight areas where they think they know the business, but they don't always know their business. And this is the service that's, you know, they're paying for. And another thing, whenever we speak to clients, another good tip, actually, when a client is questioning why your price is the way it is, you have to remember they're not only paying you for the work that you do. Mm-hmm. They're not only paying for your time, but they're also paying for your education, your knowledge, mm-hmm. but also the tools that you're using. You know, these tools, they're 100%. Not cheap.
Exactly.
They're expensive. And if you want to have results, you need to work with agencies that have the right tools. And there's nothing wrong with an agency using tools. That's the whole point. You know, it's not some people feel like it's cheating a little bit, you know, but they've been designed to make our jobs more effective, not easier, but more effective.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. And I think if some, you know, clients that you're pitching aren't turning you away for the cost of your work, you're not charging enough.
100%.
Yeah, I was given that advice pretty early on, and it's something that always stuck with me, and it really resonates with me.
Yeah, totally agree.
And then, so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I wish I'd known when I began my career? Pricing. You touched on it there.
Yeah.
To know your value and stick with it.
Yep. Yes.
Because
that's a good one.
I've been locked into, I wouldn't say locked into contracts, but you know, we've pitched to clients way too low.
Yeah.
Way, way, way too low. Normally those are the clients that have the highest expectations. and you're stuck. You're stuck. And it stops you from raising your prices. That's a really tricky thing, you know. It's when you've locked yourself into a contract, of course the client is happy. Of course you're providing a service which is way beyond what you're charging them. Mm-hmm. But the next time you go to the next client that comes up, you have the seed of doubt in your mind always, do I charge them extra? No, but if I charge them extra, maybe they're not going to take the service. So again, you end up giving them at the same rate, or maybe 1 cent or 5 euros or whatever, it might be a little bit higher. You know, and all that happens is you just get stuck. You get stuck in the sand.
Yeah.
So know your value, and stick with it, because it's a tough world. The digital marketing sphere right now, it's very heavy. The bottom part is very saturated with people. So
yeah,
you have to elevate yourself out of that.
Definitely. Great advice. I couldn't agree more. And just know your worth, stick with the pricing. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Graham. It's been really great chatting with you.
Pleasure. Thank you. Hopefully I didn't do too much talking.
No, it was great.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.